Oh, Richard.
Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Look who we brought with us today, friends.
It's Richard the Bulldog,
he's feeling
everybody.
He's a little shy.
Yeah.
Here, maybe push him out so he can turn a bit better.
Richard, this
Richard.
Way. If you're watching the show, you can see Richard's a old English bulldog, just about 10 years old. If you're listening to the show, you can go check us out on YouTube and see what
Here.
Richard looks like. He's a
Here, we'll
handsome
see if
little boy.
Wants to say hi.
Richard, you want to say hi? Let's talk into the mic, maybe. We'll bring your face over here towards the mic.
Hello.
Oh, bulldog, big bulldog energy. What do you got?
What's that?
Oh, he does not
he's feeling a little
want technology.
Today.
That's okay. That's okay, buddy.
This is Richard. He is my sweet angel baby.
Yep.
He's 85 pounds of just pure meatball.
And love.
And love. And
yeah.
He sometimes comes into the studio, especially Taylor, my husband, is traveling at the moment. He's in Japan.
That's right.
And this dog is so sick of me right now. Oh my God. He needed some, look at the way he's looking at me. He was just like, mother. He needs some masculine energy, which is honestly exactly why he has his back turned to me. For those of you that are watching, you can see that. But if you're not watching, basically he's giving me the cold shoulder and he's just staring at Tim because he is just in need of some male energy. So.
It could also be because you forced him onto this couch.
Could it be?
I don't know. We both kind of did.
No, I think he honestly, he's been sick of me for a minute. Like when I go home, I'm like, Taylor, I text Taylor in Japan. I'm like, I think our dog's depressed because he literally just mopes around. And when he got into the studio today, he saw Tim's dog Jose's toys and he went just feral. He was so happy. So yeah, that's why we brought Richard onto the show. Oh, should we do the eight ball?
Yes, we should.
Okay.
If you're new to the podcast, my name is Tim. This is Lindsay. We're both photographers, and this is the Photography Call-In Show, where we take your DMs, voice notes, messages from Instagram at the Shoot Your Shot Podcast, and we answer them. We talk about hot takes here on the old pod. So that's the premise.
We would love if we could have you slide into our DMs.
Oh my God.
Would love if you're hearing this and you're thinking to yourself, self, I've got a hot take. I've got a question I need answered. I've got a really hilarious story I would love to share, but I actually cannot share that publicly on social media. Listen, we're your people. We will tell your story.
We're here for it.
Send us a little video.
Mm-hmm.
Send us a voice note. Send us a DM.
Mm-hmm.
The best way for this podcast to be fun and funny.
Yeah.
Is if we hear your voices and we see your faces, right?
Yeah.
Like
we got one of those coming up.
We want all of your personal stories.
Yeah.
So, oh, we do.
We have a video today. Yeah.
Tim produces and does all of the back end of this show, and I love him for it. And so I never know what's happening. I
Everything
never know what's
the light
coming.
Touches. Oh, thanks, buddy.
I love a surprise. Okay, I have a question. Should people?
Oh yes.
Send us their most unhinged wedding/client story.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm gonna answer for the eight ball, but let's find out what the eight ball had to say.
The eight ball does have as I see it, yes.
So it is written.
Confirmed, written in the stars. Well,
so it shall be.
But even Richard believes, and the eight ball has now stated that you should in fact send us your most unhinged story. We all have one. Everybody always says, what's your most unhinged story? But the problem is I can't be associated with those stories.
No.
So I would have to say them anonymously. And if you guys ever hear like a voice that's not mine, but sounds like it's me, and it'll be, I'm going to one day like get ChatGPT to, or like, I don't know, some AI service to like read a story of mine.
Why not?
Just because.
Why not
like,
now?
Listen, Tim and I share the same most unhinged stories. We have two weddings that I'm currently thinking of.
Oh, wow. Yes.
That would certainly...
Oh, he's backing up. Richard, you want to leave?
Richie, do you want to have a little sit, Bear? Nobody wants to see your bum. No one wants to see your bum.
Okay.
Oh,
he's just facing
he's so
completely
mad.
The opposite way.
You want down?
This is like the time that Kelly and I took him to the drive-in to watch a movie in Guelph.
Oh, yeah.
And he just watched the moon the whole time. He was staring out the back window looking at the moon.
I did not
the screen
know
was
that.
Here, and Richard was just like, stared at the moon. We're like, are you enjoying watching the moon, Richard?
Aww.
So every time we babysit Richard, we'll ask if he's just staring at like a blank wall.
You want to go
watching
to
the moon,
moon,
buddy?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was very cute.
My little moon baby.
Let's get to some questions.
I would love that.
Before that, is there anything you want to touch on? Any photography news? Anything interesting this week? Or you want to just jump right in?
No, I don't think I have anything exciting to share with you guys this week.
Same.
So let's just dive right on into the old potty pod.
Love it. This question is from Anonymous. I'll read it to you now.
Anonymous, it's going to be a juicy one.
That's the hope.
Okay.
I'm a few years into my business and am finally deciding to take the leap into full time. My problem is none of my family or friends really support me. My parents don't think it's a good idea to quit my job and lose that stable income. And when I post about my work, I never get friends commenting or sharing it. I'm always supporting them, but it feels like I'm alone in this. It is a is it a bad idea to go full time without any support? Anonymous.
Woof.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
That's tragic.
So sad.
That's very sad.
Honestly, I think it's a very common story we've heard a few times over the years from friends and other photographers and videographers and people that are like
in creative fields.
Should I do this thing?
Entrepreneurial people.
Yeah. What are your feelings, Tim? I feel like, you know, my guess is let's maybe make some assumptions about we're going to make some assumptions about Anonymous. I think we have to.
Hit it.
I feel like we always need context.
Assumption
since
one.
We don't have a lot of context, we're going to create our own.
Let's do it.
My assumption is that this person is somewhat younger.
Okay.
Maybe mid-20s.
Yep.
You know, they're probably... My assumption is based on the fact that they're concerned what their parents think.
Yeah.
Not that we don't... Lordy, listen, I still think about what my parents think. But their parents are still worried about, you know, the stability. They didn't mention a partner.
Nope.
Not to suggest that that's an age thing, but again, we're making broad strokes here, okay? And their friends are not commenting or sharing. So they're still in the phase where, like, you know, they really truly care about what their friends are, are, you know, do they have their support of their friends?
Yeah.
And
this could be a new endeavor altogether. Like, this could be a new craft or new creative endeavor, whatever, whether it's photography, graphic design, something.
Yeah.
It feels like it's very fresh.
Yes.
Because friends aren't jumping to support them.
Yes, yes. So... based on that, tell me your thoughts, Tim.
Okay, well,
tell me, well, your experience. Will you tell me your experience?
Because,
I mean, both you and I had to make this decision the same one
at some point.
At some point,
didn't wake up with the camera in my hand.
You know, I didn't feel like that's not true. I feel like at some point I felt a little big sad, like this person did. Like,
sure,
my parents don't want me to do this. My friends don't want. So, actually, I really resonate with this. But what was your experience?
I had practice going into this because I came from a traditional television job where I worked basically for big TV, traditional television,
big TV,
YTV back in the old aughts of 2000. And YTV.
I forgot that you worked for YTV because I knew you worked for the news station, but then I forgot that you worked for YTV.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Uh-Oh for one quick second?
I had an Uh-Oh shirt.
You're lying to me.
No.
Do you guys remember Uh-Oh, the Canadians in the room?
It's like Nickelodeon of the North, basically. Like
Uh-Oh was, they would slime people. They would put them in these tubes, and there was a guy that was like...
the Punisher.
The Punisher.
Yeah.
Who I think someone at YTV was playing a sick joke. You would not put this man on TV now on a children's program because it was a very BDSM type situation.
Yeah.
He had a full leather face mask and he was called the Punisher. And he...
Richard? Okay. He's just like that.
He's just got his little bum bum up.
Everything
here,
was it was a foam set, so he'd hit people with like a foam bat. He'd put them in like a foam cage if they got an answer. It was like a game show basically for children. Anyway, no, also The Zone. I worked like 5 meters away from The Zone where PJ Phil and
I totally forgot all happened. About this.
Yeah, it was a great place to work in terms of like living my childhood and reliving my childhood moments. But soul sucking job. And so
I remember you telling me, like, you felt like the people around you, when you looked at their lives, like, they didn't seem super happy.
No. Everyone I kind of worked with and I saw who was in the positions I wanted to be in didn't seem overly happy with their job. And
right.
Just,
so you're like, that's the goal for me. And they all seem miserable. Is
and
that
like,
really
Blockbuster
it?
Blockbuster just shut down as a business. Streaming became a thing. I'm like, how long is this actually going to be a thing?
Not feeling really good.
So I started looking elsewhere. I started a photo booth company with a couple of friends. We got... kind of acquired by another company that was based in positive psychology to help bring that to the workplace by building a website, building a physical photo booth. And then I became a creative director of a company that didn't really have a product, just had a really good mission idea and statement. And so by that point,
it was a startup.
I was already quitting a full-time job with benefits from the TV station to go work at a startup. And so my parents were like, already like, okay, well, this is leaving a very stable position for a somewhat maybe stable position.
So you're already used to letting your parents down.
Yeah, which is, I was already well versed in disappointing my folks.
Every creative knows how that feels. Yeah. You know, your parents were like, "You could have done, you know, you could have worked in tech. You could have been a scientist."
I was working in tech, but it was so new at that time that I think it was just scary for them. But it wasn't like I was just, "Hey, I'm gonna go make lemonade and sell that on the street." I was working for another human being. Mm-hmm. There was information set up in a way of like, "Hey, this is an actual job. You know, position." It was
there's
unstable,
a paycheck that comes in.
But I also had the argument of like, "Hey, I'm 25. Like, I should do these things now. Take risks." It took about 2 weeks for my parents to come around to the idea of that. Mind you, I was working and living in Toronto. I was already kind of out of the house. So it wasn't like a... They were kind of taking like an advisory position as opposed to like, "I'm your guardian. Don't do this."
Yeah,
it was more of like a, "Hey, man, like, are you sure you want to do this?"
I would say that all good, like, healthy parental relationships... Again, I'm taking a real broad stroke here.
Hit it.
Parents care about their adult children. It's not like you turn 18 years old and they're like, "Sayonara, sucker." No, like... Our parents, the reason why they are concerned about stability is that, like, especially boomers, that's all they've ever really known, to be honest.
It's the world they know, right?
They've only ever known stability. Like, they've seen so much change over the course of their lives. But when we look at careers that our parents had, for the most part, they saw success when they found one career and stuck with it for a really long time.
Exactly.
Our generation, the millennials, even the gen, what's the above X. us? X, that's above us? Yep. Yeah. They found more success financially and career-wise when you jumped around. Like, there's a sweet spot of jumping around, like, to, you know, 6 or 7 jobs or whatever before you're gonna find the job that's like, you should probably stick with that one now. So I think our parents felt like, you know, first of all, they really wanted us to have benefits. That was always the golden
goose.
They
love that.
They love a benefit.
They love a benefit.
They love, you know, the stability, which I think stability is a myth.
Okay. Here it is. Hot take. Hit it.
You know, I think stability is something that employers will dangle as the carrot to make you not want to do your own thing, because there is so much fear in starting your own business, in, you know, especially in a creative pursuit of feast and famine, right? Like, we've seen that for entrepreneurs from the beginning of time, that there's a scary nature of, well, will I get a paycheck, yes or no? And employers, well, they're not going to offer you freedom. They're not going to offer you, you know, I mean, for the most part, they're not offering you freedom because you're tied to the number of hours and location and the job and all of those things, outcomes, right? Like, you're not making all of the choices here. So they're not offering you freedom. A lot of the time, especially in your mid-20s, they're not offering you a lot of money.
No.
So what can they offer you?
We're all a big family here.
Stability, right? We really care about each other.
We have a ping pong table.
We've got fun stuff. We've got a little slide in the lobby.
Sometimes
we
have lunch. Do you like lunch?
We'll give you crappy pizza on Fridays. You know what I mean? And listen, am I jealous of my friends that work in tech startups where they get...
I was.
Like, I'm often jealous of the lunches that they get.
And the lunches, yeah. Those are good.
And I'm often jealous of my friends that, you know... have a steady job.
Yeah.
Even when I'm like, "You didn't do any work last week," and they still got paid. Like, that's so cute for them. And I think that that's delightful. But I do think that the idea of stability is a myth, in that anyone can be fired at any time, and you don't make that decision, right? It's part of the reason why when you were trying to shift from your tech job into doing your own thing, you were afraid, right? That, like,
absolutely,
this is not stable.
And that job, that position, was taken from me. I was taken from me, like, I owned it. I was fired from that tech job eventually because I was a creative director at a company that didn't have a product. I was supporting sales in a way of just creating more marketing material for a product that didn't exist. So eventually, I saw the writing on the wall at some point. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I should start focusing on, like...
Like, this company just has a lot of funding doing and not other things. Anything else.
It was you and Taylor who came to my office and saw my camera bag of stuff. Of cameras and things, and Taylor said, "Hey, that's a big camera bag," because he was shooting a documentary about startups. And I said, "Yes." He said, "Would you ever want to shoot a wedding?" And I'm like, "Yes, I would love to shoot a wedding.
Please God, get me out of here.
I'm kind of unhappy here. I don't know what's going to happen." So that's how it kind of started for me. And so, to back to the question, yes, my parents were already fully versed in me taking more risks. I think that by the time, you know, I was on my own, it wasn't really a surprise, and I had a bit more support and understanding than our friend here anonymous. So.
Yeah. And I think because you worked in creative fields, you probably did have friends that were supportive of you doing something weird and different, right? Because you already had friends that were in that industry.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I got started, I did not have a lot of friends in creative industries at all.
Right.
You know, my friends were all still in university.
Yeah.
And they were doing what I was doing. We were pursuing, like, you know, jobs in our fields.
Yeah.
And so they thought I was, like, absolutely bananas for...
Why would you do that? Yeah, like, you're off the script.
They're like, you have a degree.
The treadmill's over here, Lindsay.
This is... Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Like, this is not going to plan how we thought that this was going to go.
Yeah.
So although I would say, you know, I didn't have people, like, standing on the sidelines being like, hell yeah, absolutely, 100% we're on board with this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I had people saying, like, this is a terrible idea.
Right.
I had people in my corner that were just asking important questions.
Okay.
And I think in your 20s, it can feel a lot like a lack of support when people are asking intentional questions.
Absolutely.
And I know I felt that way. And I'm not saying that this is this person, but, like, I certainly felt like...
Richard, can you get comfortable, buddy? Is
he
it
wants
tough?
To go down, maybe.
You want to go down? You can go down if you want.
I'll let him down.
Yeah, let's move him down.
You want to go out?
Okay, come on down, buddy.
Sorry, everyone. Richard Brake here. We have to make sure that the talent is comfortable.
Oh, boy. Don't kick that camera over, please. Thank you.
Come on over here. Lay down. He's got a little bed.
Oh, yeah, he's got a bed. Okay, perfect. People aren't... they're concerned for you. They're offering...
Yes, and I had mentors in my life that were like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Right? Because what they know is the starving artist story.
Ugh. The worst.
Right, they know the story of their friend who picked up a camera once and gave it a shot and failed miserably because they didn't create a business that was sustainable.
Yep.
They were not focused on the business and the lifestyle. They were focused on, I just want to make nice photos. That sounds like a really nice life, which honestly, yeah, it's a really noble thing to want.
It's a great life.
Of course, right? But I think part of the naysayers and those questions, what it led me to was to be really heavily motivated in, well, if I'm going to do this, it's going to fucking rock.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take off. There is no world in which my goal is to make $50,000 a
Pass.
Year.
Yeah.
Like $50,000 a year when, well, it's so funny now, that seems like actually impossible to live on. but like I would say in 2012, lots of my friends were going entry-level jobs making $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
50 grand as an entrepreneur is impossible to live on.
It's not great.
Because we're not talking about like, oh, my business made 50 grand. Like, that does not mean that you did.
Yeah.
Your take home is not $50,000, boo.
Not a lot.
And especially the first few years, it's so expensive to start a business.
Yes.
So your friends and family might be stacking up all of the cons. They're not seeing the pros, and they need you to convince them of the pros. Do you need to convince them? That's up to you, truly. Like, I don't think that you have to. One of the greatest joys of being in my 30s is that I just have stopped caring what people think of my decisions now.
Amazing.
Not entirely. There are still people in my life that 100%, if they say something negative, it will kill me. It will cut me to my core.
Yeah.
But I used to care about what people who I didn't even like thought of me. I used to care about what everyone thought of every decision that I made. And at some point you get to the point either in your life, your career, your relationships, all of that, where you're like, I just don't give a shit.
Yeah. I'm over it.
I just don't need this.
Yeah.
And when it comes to starting your own business, you are on your own.
Yeah.
And depending on your mindset and depending on how you frame that up, that can either be one of the most empowering or one of the most depressing things to come to reality with.
It's one of these phrases I've heard so often. When you're working part-time on a project while also working a full-time job, once you quit that full-time job, you have 40 hours a week more to spend on that part-time thing, that passion project, that thing that you really want to focus your life and career on. So having that extra time in your day doesn't feel like it's there right now because you're in a full-time position. But once you have nothing else to work on and you're fully into this new project thing, passion project, whatever your job is now to make money, you will find ways to fill those hours and to like, you'll you'll hockey stick really quickly.
When you don't have any money.
Yes.
When you have no money.
It's quite the driver.
Let me tell you, you'll find a way. Life will find a way. You will find a way to make money. So if there's a concern in your world, question person, yeah. anonymous, if there's a concern in your world that like, I don't know that I can make this happen.
Yeah.
That's something for you to sort out on your own. You have yeah. to figure that out. You should work with a mentor. You should run some numbers. You yes. should figure out, like, if I were to take what I'm doing currently and make nothing else, would I be able to live for a little bit?
Yeah.
And I would say that's probably a little bit of the goal there mm-hmm. is to say it might be lean, but at the very least, like, I could live, because you don't want to start your business in debt.
Enormous.
Like a
debt.
Little bit of debt.
Totally
okay.
fine.
Yeah. Debt. Scary debt.
Scary debt?
No.
No debt.
So one recommendation that I will have, and this is very tangible advice.
Love it.
While you still have a job mm-hmm. with a T4, mm-hmm. go get yourself a little loan from the bank. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are self-employed and you're putting self-employed on any kind of loan document, they're going to look really heavily at you. And it's funny, I just went through this last week. I just bought a new car mm-hmm. and, you know, I've been at this for 10 years. My income is real. It's not imaginary. And even still, when I wrote self-employed down, the finance guy was like 50-50 shot that this is going to get automatically approved.
It's still a thing.
He said 50-50 shot it's going to get automatically approved. We might need income verification, which, like, obviously I can verify my income. Wow. But if there is a world in which you need a new car, yeah. especially if you need a new, like a lease or whatever, in order to run your business, if you maybe want to take out a small loan, a line of credit yeah. to be able to purchase gear, do that now.
Yes.
Do that now.
While you can still be seen as a member of society by these people.
When you
who
can
have the
write
money,
down whatever your actual tax form number is, yes. that's what you should do. And then I think the last thing I want to say on this is, you know, there is no one that will ever care about your business at any stage, like you do. There will be not one person in your life that will care. Taylor and I often have to have check-ins with each other because mm-hmm. Taylor does YouTube. It's a fairly solitary job that he does. He's
very lonely.
Clickety-clacks away on his computer all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't always watch all of his videos. I will be completely honest with you, because he puts out an ungodly amount of content.
What? It's like one a day.
I hear him making them. I see him recording them. And then I hear his voice being edited.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Oh, so you do
again.
Watch some by osmosis, basically.
So I've consumed it. However, when he puts out something that's truly really important, we've had to have a conversation in the past where I'm like, can you tell me the difference between, like, oh, this is just a thing, and this is a thing that I'm really, truly caring about, excited yeah. about, whatever. Because we're not mind readers, right?
No.
As human beings, as much as I wish I was.
Sure.
I'm not a mind reader.
No.
And in the early days of my business, I might have updated Taylor every single time I got a sale or every single time I had an exciting booking.
Yeah.
And now it's just another day at the office.
Yeah.
Just in the same way that people go and do their 9-to-5, they don't come home and they tell you everybody every detail.
Yeah.
It's much the same with Taylor's and my business. It does not mean that you don't still want your partner's support
yes.
and excitement. And if they tell you, like, this is a thing I really care about, like, listen, I'm there.
Yeah.
So all of that to say, your friends and family are just waiting for you to say, this is a big fucking deal to me.
Get excited.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
This is not a joke to me. It's just that you're one of 30 people that have gone full time in photography that they're aware of. You're one of 30 people that they know that takes pictures with a camera. You're
exactly.
one of 30 people that has photo at the end of their Instagram handle. They've become numb to it. They need you to prove that you're in it, that you're invested. And this is something I tell all of my mentor clients. Why would anyone get excited about working with you, get excited about promoting you, get excited about sharing your posts when you're barely dipping a toe in the water?
Yeah.
When you're showing up like, hi, I'm like embarrassed to do this.
Please don't look too closely
at
me.
I take pictures now, and now I take them more full time than yes. I did last week. No, It's like you have to be your own personal PR team.
Yes.
You are your own hype person. You are jacked as hell to be here.
You pay for the billboard. You put it up on the internet or in real life if you have the money. You make sure that you are canvassing as much as you possibly can to everyone in your life because they do care about you. And this message proves it.
Yes.
This one says... Oh, that's Michelle. This one, that's a new video. Where are we here? Pull up the graphic. There it is. People are concerned for you. They want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. And they don't know another path other than the traditional path that they've all been taught. So if you tell them how excited you are about this new path, they're going to be like, okay,
ask.
This is it. This is the new normal for me.
You have to ask. You have to do the ask. Will you please share this? Will you at the very least comment on this? Will you tell your people about it? Because listen, I get asked to buy shampoo from people's MLMs on a weekly basis. And if I...
What a world.
If I have to be supporting these boss babes...
Yeah.
Baby, it's a two-way street. No problem. I'll buy your shampoo.
I will. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at that. It just...
Oh, I'll buy your shampoo.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Especially, like, in your 20s, I bought so much freaking shampoo.
Of course.
I bought all the shampoo. I bought the Arbonne. I bought the makeup. I bought the fake gel nail thingy. I bought all the things, not because I wanted the product.
Because you wanted to support people you
Because love. I wanted to support my friends. Actually, yeah. I truly, I'm not going to lie, I really did like my Monate.
It was good?
I really liked Monate. it didn't make my hair fall out.
If you're watching, but you can see it's still here.
I was, before Girls Girl was a thing, I was a girl's girl.
Yeah.
My girlfriend said that they wanted to sell protein powder. I was like, oh my God, sign me up. You know,
bulk up.
If I have to buy that from a store, I might as well buy it from one of my girlfriends. It's going to get a tiny little cut. So when I show up with an actual business that I've put 100% of my effort into and I don't have a downline, you better show up for me. And I think it goes both ways, but what those MLM girlies are really good at, they're really good at going for the ask. They'll slide into your DMs. They post about it like this is the first time you've ever heard about that shampoo.
Hey, babe, just noticed you posted a thing about your hair this week. It looks fab, but there's such a demand for this product that just came out. I think you would love it.
Exactly. And they're good at self-promotion.
Yes.
It's key. It's literally key. They're like, look at my life. Look at how fabulous my life is. Look at this, you know, white Cadillac thing that this girl I know who is a girl who someone knows bought.
Yes.
You know, it's not like they got it. But anyways, I've gone off script because I love an MLM talk. You know, we should do an entire episode. There's no reason to, but we should talk about MLMs. I just love them.
Amazing. So TLDR, what do we say to this?
We must commit 100% our whole ass to this business. Screw the naysayers.
Agreed.
And tell your parents, I love you. I so appreciate your concern
and your care.
But baby, I got this.
Yeah,
I got this. That's all they need to know.
You got this, and also sounds like you're young. You have time to make mistakes. Mistakes will define you as a person. You're defined by your mistakes more than your successes. So either way, you're going to learn something great and it's going to be amazing. And also it's your parents' first time at life. So be gracious with them because they're just doing their best.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Let's pay some bills. We'll come back with question number two. I already teased it because I swiped there, but it's Michelle.
Is Richard going to do the ad today?
Richard, do you have any? Oh,
he's not doing
completely
the ad.
Asleep. No. Okay.
Okay.
Good job, Lindsay. Great question answering.
Thank you. I love to answer a question and I love to question and answer.
Okay, one ad, then we'll be right back. Lindsay, I've noticed something really interesting about your Instagram posts lately.
Oh, have you, Tim?
I feel like you're trying harder.
Oh my gosh. My secret, and it's not so secret, is social templates. Everyone who is a photographer knows how painful it is to make reels.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you used to be able to just like take photos and then put them on Instagram and people would see them. No longer. Now you must make a reel. Now, in order for people to see said photos, they must be in video form.
Even if you're a photographer, you need to focus on video. And what is one of the ways you do that, Lindsay?
Social templates. So social templates is this incredible platform. You know, when you're on Instagram and you go to somebody's Instagram and you're like, oh, I really love that reel. I'll show you one that I made. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, that's beautiful. It's synced to the beat. It's using a trending audio. I wish that I could make something like that. Well, now you can. So when you are a subscriber of Social Templates, you will get access to this private Social Templates account. You will then have access to brand new trending reels. Every single week they put new ones out. You'll see how many, this one says 11 segments. So that can be photo, video, if you have BTS, if you have actual stills that you've already edited and delivered. It's really so simple. You'll hit this use template button and then you just plunk them in.
Whoa.
And they are already time synced.
Amazing.
So they're beat matched, they're time synced, and because the audio is trending and because it's current, it's going to put it into people's feeds, which is the goal. So Amazing. It looks like I'm trying hard, but actually I'm trying not at all. Socialtemplates.co is where you're going to go to sign up. It's $29 a month, which is basically nothing when you compare it to the cost of having like a marketing assistant or even just your own time spent in CapCut or whatever many apps. You use my code Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, and you will get the first month free. And I strongly recommend it. You're going to try it for the first month and you're going to be like, I'm in. So give it a shot. Socialtemplates.co, the promo code Lindsay.
Promo code Lindsay, socialtemplates.co. Back to the show. And we're back. That's it. That was the one ad. Thanks for sticking around. Lindsay, you have a thought and feeling, you said during the break.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say, this is mostly a break conversation, but I guess I'll share it with everybody.
We're here now.
Have you ever seen Campbell and some, they're on TikTok and on Instagram, the like Pookie guy? Pookie is looking absolutely fire. Yes. Tonight, and they, yes, do like a fit check of the, yeah, night.
I have
I'm obsessed with these people, but I just had the funniest idea for a reel. Okay. That I want to do that with Richard.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And do like Richard's fit check.
Yeah.
Pookie is looking absolutely fire tonight. I don't know. It's just a really unnecessary aside that I feel like everybody loves these people, though. They're like, they've really unlocked something very intriguing. I guess it's like wealth, just obscene wealth. Yeah. That's what they've unlocked. Yeah. Like, just people love just a very vanilla country club.
Yeah.
Group of people. There's going to be something crazy come out. There's going to be a Vice documentary in the next 5 years about, like, you know, who these people really are.
That's scary.
I hope so. There's always dirt.
Yeah, someone will find it. If not, they'll reveal it to us all because people make mistakes.
Absolutely. Speaking of mistakes.
Okay.
Oh no, I don't actually have a segue. Okay, cool. Sorry. Should we get into the second question?
Yes, we have a second question this episode.
I'm excited. One of our last episodes, the red flags one, still is making me laugh that we were going to do two questions and then we just riffed on red flags for the whole episode. And it's honestly so funny to me, which, by the way, if you're listening to this one, go back and listen. You know, you're still early days. If I was hopping onto a brand new podcast and I was getting on like episode 7 or 8, I'd be like, oh sweet. Like,
we had someone from Spain reach out. He said he just binged everything and they listened while editing. That. So people are listening to the old episodes, even though they're like, what, 7 episodes deep?
So yeah, you're not that, so you're not thanks, that far. Thanks for listening if you're catching us here. Mm-hmm. And go back and listen to some past ones and you know, let us know what you think of them.
Yeah. So we encourage DMs, we encourage voice notes on Instagram at the Shoot Your Shot podcast. I also was at a wedding show for Pearl. They're one of the major wedding venues in town 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And I took a camera and a little microphone. And so I recorded some stuff from vendors who are not photographers, but work in the wedding space. Michelle is one of them. She's coming up right now.
Have you ever worked with a photographer or videographer, whatever opposite one that you're shooting, that you have not meshed with, and why?
Great question, Michelle.
Juicy.
That's not a bad still frame of Michelle. She probably wouldn't like it, but
she looks gorgeous all the time. She literally could be like just one eye half shut. You know, she could have Bell's palsy and I still think she's gorgeous.
She used to model, but that we all knew that. We knew that.
I feel like people, she still models. Does she? Still does? I don't know.
No idea. Michelle of Mac Weddings.
She should.
They are a planning and officiating company here in Southwestern Ontario and they're fantastic. Look them up at Mac Weddings. M-A-E-C-K Weddings. Wedding spelled.
M-A-E-C-K.
Mm-hmm. Weddings.
Mac Weddings. So that's Michelle Mac.
Have you ever worked with a videographer?
Michelle wants the gossip.
You don't like or didn't mesh well with.
Didn't vibe with.
And why? The why is the...
Yeah.
I mean, they're both difficult questions to answer, but people want to hear the goss.
Well, I mean, I How once worked with this get? Guy. Okay. His name's Tim Musa.
Great.
He's an absolute nightmare of a person. Just a nightmare to work with. This guy is always getting in the way. Oh, wait, that's me.
Oh, wait, that's Tim. You talking over all the video content that I create. All the candid moments. Lindsay's just talking
you don't
away.
Hear? You don't want to hear talking a little chit-chat?
No,
just
it's
setting
fine.
The mood?
I appreciate you talking because I feel like a lot of people getting photographed by you. It's their first time being photographed, save for the engagement session. So they want to be like reassured they're doing a good thing.
Yeah, you got to hype them up a little bit. Yeah, I've gotten better.
We've learned. No, we've learned.
You know what I will say before we get into the dirt?
Okay.
Is that you don't know what you don't know when you're a photographer starting out. Like, I know how to be a photographer, but I only know how to be a photographer based on what I've learned. Like, I've only ever seen the people I've second shot for do it. That doesn't necessarily mean that they know.
Sure.
But I've never been a videographer. So you as a photographer, you don't realize. Also, a lot of videographers don't do audio. So Taylor, when he would do video, I could talk anytime because the man was making a music video essentially, right?
Yeah.
So it's important to set expectations, you know, as a videographer, to be like, hey, we're gonna do this. I need you to STFU for this little bit.
And you're
bit.
Great for stuff like that. Like first looks, don't hear a peep out of you. It's perfect.
No, I'm well trained now. I know.
Another thing before we get into the dirt. Before we get into the dirt, I have one more thing about that. I have adopted a, when I do video, I've adopted a very documentary style of things where people blasting off flashes. You get that kind of like the two lines online. Oh, yeah, it's
fun. To be honest, I kind of enjoy it.
People ask me sometimes, photographers are like, do you mind if you use flash? I'm like, I truly don't care.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Light I would say it looks cool.
I'm fine with it. It looks some and it's energy. Very and it's a documentary approach to things, very photojournalistic in terms of video. So they're part of the day. It's part of the day. I don't really care, and I've adopted that to no longer be like super cinematic. And we need to make sure the lighting is consistent all the time.
With that being said,
who gives a
there's
shit?
Some people that I absolutely hate on this planet.
Go for it. Go for it. How do we do this without rat fucking our lives? Because we still work in the industry. We're not in the industry. We are influencers, I would say, at this point, 7 episodes in.
We're influencing.
We are. But we also work in the industry. We we influence. So how do we do that without ruining all the relationships we
any,
have with people
any
who aren't
really
us?
Bad video experience I've had, they know.
Okay. How do they know? How do you indicate that they're no good at their
life? Have certainly had some rough experiences with videographers.
Okay.
Not in this area usually. Typically it's when I'm shooting closer to Toronto. The thing about photography is that typically I'm the person that they've hired first, and then the videographer, as you know, even as the videographer, sometimes you're hired
6 months out. That's
sometimes,
often the case.
Sometimes they're hired a month or so out.
Yeah.
And most people will invest in their photography. But unfortunately, if they've blown the bank on photography, sometimes that means you get the Kijiji of videographers, which I have had a number of times. Listen, if I end up with a videographer that's a professional and their style is just different from mine, no big deal. That's not fine. Whatsoever.
Yeah, it's fine. Great example of this would be outside in studio. Very different style of doing things, but beautiful work.
And
the professional.
When we worked together, they were very clear about being like, hey, we're going to roll some audio here. Like, we were all clear with each other on our expectations. They were like, you know, do you mind if I do video first? Just because I really need his like authentic reaction to this. And I'm like, by all means, like,
go for it.
It's not a big deal for me now. I think that the problem is when ego gets in the way.
Right.
Ego mixed with a lack of skill is incredible to me. And it almost always comes together. A lack of skill set is never mixed with humble, you know, people. They're always jackasses.
It's wild.
It's incredible. So there was a team. I'm going to tell you a specific one because anyone who's ever signed a contract with me since this wedding knows who they are.
This name.
So it's really, let's call them, for the sake of me not being sued, because I think that they may still be active out of
maybe
London.
Not in weddings, but we don't want to dox them completely.
Let's call them
insatiable,
the Hungry Hippos.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Yes.
So we're going to call them the Hungry Hippos.
Nom, 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 nom.
I show up at this venue. Okay, so the photographer, the client told me ahead of time that they were hiring this team.
Yeah.
I looked at their work. I could tell these guys are doing too much.
I was seconding for you at this wedding. That's how I know this
Timmy,
story.
Timmy, I forgot that. I was so traumatized by this day. I completely forgot that you were there.
I wish they hired me. I wish they would have done that, but I guess they wanted a certain style.
Yeah, it was traumatic. And it's funny because I don't think that they were a last minute addition. They were definitely after me. Mm. But this bride and groom, they were quite particular. Like, in the best way, they had high expectations, and I loved that they picked me even with these high expectations.
Yeah.
So when they showed me this video company, I was like, well, I do think the end product will be good.
Yeah.
It's just what we'll have to sacrifice in order for us to get it.
Yeah.
So I had told them, you know, my approach is very cash. It's very like we'd done the engagement shoot. They knew.
They got the vibe.
They knew that they knew I'm it. Not doing like a hyper posed, you know, thing. On the wedding day, I show up. There are three men. Mm. Some of them are wearing knee pads because you just never know when the moment might strike.
Well, I saw the reason for wearing knee pads. It was because this individual was kneeling down on the gravel outside to get a shot that easily could have just been held.
Just held.
I don't want to get into politics.
Sometimes I think people do like the most just to try to like prove like how good they are.
They want
to
look professional. Busy. They want to seem like they're justifying their existence and their job by looking like, oh, this is really difficult. I'm suffering for this artistic vision that I have stuck in my brain that I want to
like get out. The biggest rig of all time.
What are you doing?
My favorite thing that they did.
Okay.
Was that they said, we're making motion picture here, baby. Multiple times. Listen, one of the reasons why I have no qualms about sharing this is, first of all, because they physically assaulted me at the end of the night. So, and I will get into that. That's not just like a clickbaity thing. I was physically assaulted by one of the videographers on this team. And I immediately left the wedding after that happened. Mm-hmm. So, when I tell you it can sometimes be a nightmare to work with people and you still have to do your job, like, thank God this happened at the end of the night. But like, these people were a nightmare all day long. They were clearly lacking skill set. They had the biggest egos of all time. Yeah. And they couldn't stand that I, a woman, was in charge of that day.
Yeah.
They could not stand it. They could not stand that they weren't the ones calling directing the shots. Everything, because the bride kept on saying to them, photography is the most important thing to me today. Mm-hmm. So whatever Lindsay says, which honestly would feel shitty. I can imagine that would feel shitty, knowing that someone is saying to you, you can do what you have to do, but not at the sacrifice of this, because that's more important to me.
But that
wouldn't feel great.
That's like,
that's just literally your job, unfortunately.
Yeah. Your earbuds coming out the side here. Yeah, I just wanted to poke at the.
Oh,
there you
and
go.
And there the you go. Interesting thing is, like, they were told that before, because yeah. I specifically told her before the wedding, listen, mm-hmm. we've got very different styles. So I just want you to maybe have a conversation with them about what's going to happen during some key moments, like yeah. you walking down the aisle, mm-hmm. you know, if you really, she had a couple of really specific shots she wanted. She wanted, and I remember I was stressed about this. She wanted a shot of her, it was a cathedral, from above walking down the aisle. I said, that's no problem. But if that guy's going to be a foot from your train, you know.
I can't get that shot.
That's not going to be ideal. Can I Photoshop him out of a couple? Sure. This was like before AI, you know, like yeah. where that made it much easier. But we had conversations. There were pre-conversations about yes. what was going to go down. She said, I will make sure that they know that photography is the most important thing to me. She reiterated it on the wedding day.
Yeah.
I sort of just stood into the role of, I'm going to direct this, because we had a schedule that mm-hmm. was made by me. We had, you know, a shot list that was made by me. And then these guys are supposed to be the supporting people, as well as let me know, just like, let's have some mutual respect and say, hey, do you mind if we do this video shot, whatever
yeah.
first?
Yeah.
No big deal. Or if we can do it right after this. Because we clearly were not like how you and I work, where we work in sync and we just shoot at the same time.
Show up
at
the same time, shoot the same thing.
So we just make life easy for people.
Yeah.
These guys, I could tell, like, listen, I don't really want the shot you're going to get. You don't want mine. So, like, let's just keep out of each other's sandboxes.
Agree to disagree. Yeah.
Every time it was my time to shoot, they were in my way. Because yeah. there were three of them.
Ugh.
And they were never not in the way. They were never not over-directing on top of me. I would say something and they would do it. And I'm like, is it my time to shoot? You guys don't even have a camera up and you're trying to assert your dominance.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare through and through. We did sparklers and I still, this was like, what would you say, Tim, 2013 or 14?
14.
So this was a decade ago. And yeah. I still feel bad about the deliverable that I gave it was enough to make me change my contract to stipulate that I would like final say on your videography team, or at the very least, first recommendation. And if you do not take my recommendations, and if you
hire this
go
team,
with a team,
the hippos,
without speaking to me,
yeah,
that I can't be held responsible for the final product of your photography anymore, because they're impacting my ability to do my
everything.
Job.
Yeah.
So I actually put this team specifically in, and I said that the contract would be void if they were hired.
Amazing.
Because sometimes people will go rogue, right?
Yeah.
And if they're looking for a videography clause that's just right under there, it says the hungry hippos cannot be hired if Lindsay is hired. So
I love that it's still there.
And it's still there, and good. It makes me happy every time. Good. And I don't know if anybody's ever told them. Like, it's funny to me. But the reason why, and it's not just because they were a pain to work with, because listen, like, I'm just not that much of a princess.
Yeah.
But at the end of the night, we were doing dances, parent dances, bride and groom dances.
Mm-hmm.
And the bride and groom are in the middle of the dance floor. Everyone is standing around them on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And I think you had left at this point.
I don't think I was at this wedding. When you said cathedral, I'm like, oh no, I was at the one at Hacienda.
That's this one.
That was it.
Had a cathedral ceremony.
Then I was there. Okay.
And wild. Then, but for the reception, I remember being alone because I don't think that this would have happened had I not been alone.
After. That's right. Yes.
So when people are doing like first dances and stuff, at this time I had like a 7200 on. I was trying to like stay back. It was pretty well lit in there.
Yeah.
There was no need really for me to be up in the business the
with
whole
a 28
time.
Or a 35 or anything. Yeah.
But then, you know, these guys circle the bride and groom. So there are three of them. There is no way for me to get one single shot.
Because they're swooping around with a
gimbal. Because they're literally in a triangle around the bride and groom. You've got the bride and groom here, and they're on every single...
Just spinning.
And one of the bridesmaids said to me before this incident happened, she was like, is this a problem? And I was like, yes, this is a problem.
Yes, of course it's a problem. Yeah.
This is a problem.
This is a big problem.
I can't edge in here anyway. And you don't want to be disruptive. It's not like I can be like, excuse me, can everybody clear the dance floor? I need
During
to get my shot.
This beautiful moment? Yeah,
right.
No. Yeah.
So I go up to one of the guys and I was like, hey, can you just jump out for a second? Because I can't, it's either you're in a shot or they're in a shot. And I'm trying to be like, can you move? And he looked at me like, what? And then they I'm not kidding, they were doing this like triangle circle back and forth around the couple. So being the at times alpha woman that I can be, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm not asking anymore.
Elbows up.
And I just jumped in and I just stood in between two of them and got as close as I could on like a 35 or something.
Yeah.
Which would mean that I'm in all of their shots at this point.
Yeah.
But like literally what's
what can
my,
you do?
I still have to deliver a final product that I've been told is the most important thing to come out of this day for this bride.
Yeah.
So honestly, at this point, I didn't really care if I'm going to hurt these guys' feelings. Hopefully after a minute and a half of them doing their little dance together, they've gotten the shot. You know, within the three cameras you've just rolled, I hope you've gotten the shot.
Good grief.
So I jump in there and I get an elbow to the chest.
Wow.
Right here, right in the middle of my chest. I was winded.
Yeah.
I was like, what just happened? And it was not unintentional. There was no world in which it was unintentional. They knew I was there.
Yeah.
He looked right at me after he did it and sort of did a
wow.
And the same bridesmaid that asked me, is this a problem, came up to me and was like, are you okay? And I actually was probably like partly like winded and partly just
shocked,
stunned
that
just happened. My eyes started welling up. I was like, I cannot believe that this had just happened. And actually, you know what? You would have left because the day ran really long.
Okay.
The speeches and everything ran really long. So I would have sent you home and I stuck around for this.
Happens often.
And it happened often. So at this point, like I'm already over my allotted time or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I'm out. I'm so out. I like choked back tears. I shot the rest of whatever it was that I had to shoot. I honestly don't remember if I said goodbye to the couple, which would be really unlike me. But in this circumstance, like I just remember being like,
gotta go.
I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
And yeah, I always think like if a situation's bad enough for you to change your contract over it, it was bad. You know, if a client screws with you so much. So anyways, that was my own personal therapy session. Thanks, Michelle, for letting me get that out.
Yeah, Michelle's thanks.
Seen that contract, so I'm sure she's seen it. I don't know if she's ever clocked it before, but if she saw the hungry hippos shall not be included in a wedding day. But I mean, I don't think that they're really... Karma always gets people like that.
Yeah.
People, they get a reputation. I know some of the top wedding planners in their city. Good luck. I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
You know?
How do you top that?
Have you ever been assaulted at a wedding?
Assaulted by a videographer? No.
I want to say, like, I work with so many videographers from all across the board of different skill sets, different styles, and I honestly really enjoy it. Yeah. I like to see how people's different working styles, like to see how they communicate with their clients.
Same. I love it.
Every once in a while, I'm like, wow, this is a learning experience and masterclass and what not to do. The only thing that I find incredibly frustrating is when I am relied on to be someone's mother for the day.
Yes.
And I've told you about circumstances where I'm like shooting and the videographer keeps saying, like, what's happening next?
Figure it out. There's a schedule. And I'm
like, wait, are you a volunteer?
Yeah,
that I didn't know about? I'm so confused. Like, did you start working for me today? Am I paying you? Like, those are the only reasons why I would tell you what's happening. It's one thing, like, if you're just in passing, like, oh, so are we going to this next? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I'm the one that made the schedule.
Yeah.
I had to go through all the effort of doing the calls and the emailing back and forth. The only thing I ask of you is that you print that shit off.
And you have it on your phone. Put it on your phone.
Like, somewhere. I don't understand. Like, what? Why am I being asked? That's my biggest pet peeve, truthfully, of videographers, is like, short of us having like a really solid rapport where, you know, you and I pick each other's slack up because we're just exhausted throughout the season, where mm-hmm. I'm like, Tim, what's happening here? And you're like, but we are friends.
Yeah.
If it's some guy I've never met before being like, so what are we off to now? I'm like, jump in your Honda Civic and go figure that out. I don't know.
No shade. I had a Honda Civic for a while.
Oh, I had a Honda Civic too. Greatest car in my life. I'm just saying, like, the one guy I'm thinking of had like a Honda Civic that had winter rims on in July. And I was just like, bro,
get it fixed.
There are reasons why I was the one that was hired a year and a half ago, and you were hired 4 weeks ago.
You're running on winters and summer. Get out of here.
There's a problem here. Anyways, tell me a story, Tim.
Oh my gosh. So there's so many. I was never assaulted. Thankfully,
that's touch good. Wood. Thank God.
I wonder how that would go. That'd be terrifying. I think I would react the same way. I think I would honestly just start to well up and be like, I'm okay. And then I'd leave because.
The nice thing is, it'll never happen to you because you're a man.
It may not happen to me.
You think somebody's going to elbow you in the chest at a wedding?
Yes. No.
Doubtful.
It'll be a guest. It'll be a guest who's irate, who doesn't like that I'm doing my job.
Yeah. We should do an episode on unhinged guest stories next. I was just thinking.
Good one. Sorry. I have a really good one because you weren't there. It was a wedding that Nova shot with me, or I shot with Nova, and it was incredible. We'll get to it.
But
next
wait.
Time.
Oh, a guest story. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, you're about to tell us a story about the photographer you hate, and you're quoting one of my best friends.
No, Nova's
tell
the best.
More. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is a guest wedding, but we'll get to that in a future episode. Oh, here comes an ambulance. We heard it last time on the show.
The whambulance.
The whambulance is gone. So,
five alarm.
I would say, in the past, I've had more difficulty working with people who are like hired by the venue.
Coordinators,
whatever they're called, posing my couples for me.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. This happened a couple times a year ago.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is happening right now? So I just kind of took over and talked over them.
What did you do?
I took over and talked over them and said, great, we had that shot. Let's keep moving. And I just have to kind of, without stressing the couple out, I want to make sure everyone's having a good time at the wedding day. As a photographer, a videographer.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, excuse me.
You want to be
me.
Good vibes all day. You want to make sure that you're like, hey, everyone, this is a great day. Let's just capture what happens in a really kind of like flowy, non-posed way. And then when you have people who are not photographers telling your couple how to do your job and how to pose them, it becomes problematic to the point of like,
it's confusing.
Am I not working fast enough for you? What are you doing? Your job is not this. You're to look at the schedule. You're to make sure we're on time. Your job is the kitchen. Outside the kitchen, if that makes sense. That sounds horrible. That sounds very sexist and misogynist.
Well,
that's
we don't
not
know
I
that they're women.
I mean that they're true. But like their job is to make sure that the venue is running on time. That's what I mean by that. Please don't parse
not
that clip and make me sound like a lunatic.
Not your job isn't in the kitchen making sandos.
No, your job
is
to make sure the kitchen is
quite
on time.
Literally in the kitchen, making sure that the schedule is moving and that people are being served on
not
time.
Not to pose my couple on the stairs at the
maybe, you know, like floof a train for me. Sure. Say, hey, do you want your bouquet?
Yeah.
Would you like...
Not, we're doing this shot now. I'm like, would you like... Excuse you.
Even things like that are really specific with like, I don't like the big train, everything perfectly laid out. Yeah. I feel like it's very dated. Mm-hmm. I love a huge train moment, but I would like it to be a little bit messy, a little undone.
A little bit undone. Also, so, I have a style. I have an idea of what I want from this shot. Let's just believe that I got it. Yeah. I would say that there was no specific moment where I was like, this is going down in the history books when it comes to working with another vendor. Because, you know, I worked with a few vendors who were interesting, but no one's like really, oh, there we go. No one's like really stood out in my mind as like being really difficult.
The worst.
I will say that there's a few in the past 6 months that have been like, what are you doing? And like, it's just a matter of, is this your first wedding? And I don't mean that in a way of like being super negative. I mean that in like a way
literally.
Of like, do you have any awareness of all of anyone else in the room? And for things like speeches or ceremony, I'll talk to the photographer beforehand and say, hey, just so you know, there's a camera here, and a camera here. The two side ones, just try not to stand in front of them for too long because those are the ones for vows. They're tall cameras, tripods, so it's not like they're going to be, you know, like they could stand in front of it and
but just you, a total lack of awareness. Still see them,
but like have a bit of awareness about that. I make sure that they're aware of that. And for speeches, same thing. I'll have a camera tucked away at the back of the room with a very long lens and say, just don't stand like here. Inevitably, they will for a few frames. Totally fine. Don't care. Again, a very documentary approach to everything I do.
Yeah.
But it's the ones who stand in your shot while I'm shooting next to the main photographer, who are the second photographers, and they're chimping, they're looking at the bottom of their screen, and they're wearing a red jacket, and this is very specific, in the frame of what I'm trying to shoot. And then the photographer who hired them has to yell at them to get out of my frame. That's when I'm like, first of all, thank you, photographer. And second of all, second photographer, get the fuck out of the
way. Why are you wearing red? First of all, is my biggest question. Yeah.
In March. This is very telling. I've this was this year. A few
questions. Yeah, so, that's like the equivalent of winter tires in July.
And then a few photographers last year who were using flash midday, like just popping off like 1/1 flash midday. I think it just comes down to a stylistic approach. And also like the idea of you don't trust the sun for some reason. It's midday. The sun is shining bright. You're using a flash.
Oh, I remember you telling me that story. And they were like, it's too dark in here. You're like, it's literally broad daylight, boo. Like
200 ISO. You can boost it a bit.
What camera are you shooting on that? It's too dark. You stopped at an
F-16? What are we doing? Is it the eclipse?
Scary.
You're shooting the eclipse? No, so those are mostly my problems. Those are mostly my...
It's interesting to me that I think in the wedding industry, it's one of the rare occasions that completely separate contractors have to come together on one day to make something work. You know, it's not like a house build.
No.
Where there's an interior designer.
It's overlap.
There's an overall general contractor.
Electricians.
They're going to bring some people in, but they've probably worked together. And if they haven't, the client is aware, like, this is not recommended.
Yeah.
And maybe I think that comes down to communication for us. Like, really reiterating, I do not recommend them.
Yes.
And it's not to say I think that they're terrible. I don't have enough information to recommend them to you.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the people that I recommend are phenomenal and I would back their work, right?
Like, because there's no communication needed outside of like, you know, like, hey, we're going to do this. Let's do this.
We know where we're going to be. Yes. There's like you and I on a wedding day, there's like a dance. It's so funny. I feel like we could literally not speak for so much of the wedding day.
Wouldn't need to, as long as the schedule is in place, we're happy. Yeah,
like, there is literally a flow. I know where I need to be.
Yes.
Unless we're doing something incredibly different or we're at a venue that's weird for us, we just know where to be and when. And it's the same with my second photographers once we've been working together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We have a flow of like, I'm going to hold back. You're getting a shot right now. I don't want us to both be in the way. I don't want us to both be. There's this lovely choreography that sort of unfolds that truly does feel like a dance. And doesn't need to feel like a battleground, you know? I never want somebody's wedding day. Like, my saddest part of that day, honestly, was that I felt like, did that seep over into the client's experience? Like, the bridesmaid noticed it.
She definitely told the bride.
The bride never talked to me about it afterwards. That was my ideal scenario.
Yeah.
If she had brought it up with me afterwards, I would have been gutted.
Yeah.
There were a couple of shots that she really wanted that I had to go back through and look for that, like, they were not ideal. They weren't exactly how I wanted, so I didn't deliver them because of the scenario that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I maybe made a comment of, like, because of the videographer's placement, this is why I was standing where I was, or this is why I was. I think with the experience I've had over the last 10 years, I just simply wouldn't sacrifice it.
Yeah.
Now, I probably would have had a conversation, like a real direct conversation with one of those videographers and been like, listen, you've got two choices. Either I'm going to go tell the bride that I need you to leave, or I need you to
communicate,
take
and cooperate.
A step back.
Yeah.
Like literally take a step back. And thankfully, I haven't had to have conversations like that very often. There's been one other time that I had to tell the bride, like, your videographer is out of control and is ruining all of these photos.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot that I can do. And because I had told them beforehand, they were expecting it. And they also saw what was unfolding in front of them. And they were able to be like, hey, listen, you're going to get sent home, or you need to, like,
ship up.
Yeah.
Ship up or ship out.
These things have not happened in the last half a decade, thankfully, only in the first half of my career. So I think most of these horror stories usually sort themselves out when you start just being a little more confident.
And also proactive. I've noticed that the past 2 years, I've been reaching out to photographers or videographers when working with them on the day. And I'll say, hey, in an email or a DM if they're on Instagram and I follow them. Hey, I'm Tim. I'm doing XYZ on the day. I'm doing photo or video the day of the wedding of this great couple. So excited to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Work looks beautiful. Compliment them a bit.
Yes.
And then say, hey, this is kind of my approach, my style to the day. Here's a schedule of where I'm going to be on the day based on either the couple's questionnaire that they filled out or the planner put together a schedule. And I've kind of parsed that out and made a schedule for myself. What do you think? Is there overlap? I want to work with you. Mm-hmm. Is this a vibe? Do you understand that my approach is this? What's your approach like?
Mm-hmm.
What are you into?
Yeah.
Do you like shooting people from, you know, tiny people, big planet? Like, what's your ideal? Do you have any shots you definitely want to get for the couple?
Yeah, we can't all be doing the opposite world. Like,
no.
We can't all, like, you know, if you want to be in a long lens and I'm always on a 24, that's going to be a problem.
Real problematic.
You know, like, or you want to be on a wide, but you want to be further back. Like, that's going to be really annoying if I'm the kind of guy that's always up front. So there's some communication. I think the best thing that you can do is show up with a good attitude.
Absolutely.
And you go up and you shake their hand and you're like, hey, I checked out your work. It's phenomenal. I'm super excited to be here with you.
Yeah, let's learn from each other.
This is going to be a super fun day. If vibes are ever off, because this is a thing, people have PTSD over working with your competitors, right? So some of these videographers have probably come into working with me thinking, this girl's going to be a nightmare, right? And so if I come up to them and I'm like just genuinely nice and I'm like, you want a Red Bull?
Yeah.
If you need anything, I've got an assistant here. Feel free to ask her for a water, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just here to try to make the best outcome for our clients and go home and not want to cry.
And if you
that's
focus,
literally the goal.
If you focus the energy of the day, like, hey, I really want to serve this couple and make sure that they're having a great experience from all of us. That's a common goal that everyone should be striving towards if you're a wedding vendor on the day. You shouldn't be out to get your own cinematic, making memories. What do they say? What do the hippos say?
Making motion pictures.
Making motion pictures here. That shouldn't be the goal.
They
the goal should be
would say,
having a great day.
What was
and
the
you
thing?
Capture what happens. Sorry if that's aggressive.
No.
The
what
clapper?
Was the, like,
they had one of those?
They
Shut
had a
up.
Clapper.
I don't remember that at all.
And then they would be like
a, sink
a
clap.
Scene.
Ah!
I was like, wow. How did I get hired and how did these jabronis get hired? I've got some questions here, you know,
so
like just
much.
Awful. Just the vibes were off. But if you go in jazzed and you're like, I'm here to have a good time. I'm going to be done in 10 hours, God willing. And I want to not hate you and I want you to not hate me.
Yeah.
And like last year, I got the opportunity to work with a couple of new videographers at a couple of weddings that I was genuinely nervous for. Like the weddings themselves, I was nervous about just planning things were challenging and whatever. And the videographers made my day, like truly made my day.
That's the best.
Like they were like, I got you a Diet Coke, which actually is like Tim's move during cocktail hour
high
when I'm out, like,
everyone who's a-
when I'm doing like, family photos and stuff.
High-fiving all the cameras. High-fiving all the cameras. Thank you so
like,
much.
Like, honestly, it makes everybody's life so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
When you set the tone of, I'm here to serve my clients, but I'm also here to have your back.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if things do go south, if you do have a problematic client, you and I both are the ones with the receipts. We're both the ones that had eyes on that situation. We knew what happened there. So we were told, yes, we're all good here. We don't need any more. We don't want any more sunset photos. We don't want any more of this. So inevitably, when that maybe changes, the videographer and I can be like, hey, you were there, right? You saw that, and now they're upset that there's not more of this or whatever. Mm-hmm. We then have built up this network of really great people that we get to work with, and I get to refer and they get to refer me. And that's just like a nice, that's just a really nice time. And that's my ideal scenario. If I could make that day happen over and over again, where we are fetching each other's Diet Cokes
Love
and
that.
Going and making sure nobody clears your plate during dinner.
Very important.
These are little things that really add up.
Make a big diff.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, thank you so much for your question.
Yes, Michelle, that was a really thoughtful question.
I know
you
have
so
more
much.
Tea than we do, and you love the tea. We all love the tea.
Well,
who doesn't?
You're saying not that like Michelle's out. A gossip.
Yeah, no
Michelle's
kidding.
Not
no,
a gossip.
Michelle's a human being like all of us.
Everybody loves a little bit of tea. The funny thing is, if I was a wedding planner, I would have like a list of stories that I had written out of just
legal pad.
Hilarious. Yeah. Shit that's gone down. Yeah. I can't imagine being a wedding planner. I mean, we talked about it on the episode where we talked about content creation.
Okay.
Having to manage not just a schedule, not just your bride and groom, but all of the strong personalities that come to play with wedding vendors.
That's ultimate mom. That's like super mom.
Like, when Michelle shows up, when somebody's like, Michelle's not the only planner, she's a lead planner, but then there's many other planners that come out. They have to then try to suss out, why are the vibes off? What's going on with the photo video team, right? It's just so funny to me. That's just like, I always think about that. So I would say that's the other thing. If you're a photo video team, like, don't make the planners upset. Don't make the planners have a worse day.
No.
You know? Just like, let's be chill.
Yeah.
If you can just go cry in the corner instead of making a problem, go cry in the corner. You know?
Did we do it? We did it. Of course we did it. We do it every time. This is the greatest podcast on the planet. And you should leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And say that.
5 stars, greatest podcast on the planet. That would help us greatly just to move up the rankings and get more visibility. People watching, listening, check us out. YouTube. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts.
It's my
podcasts.
Birthday this weekend.
Oh
so
my gosh,
actually,
yeah. Happy birthday, Lindsay.
If you leave a review, it would be my birthday gift.
That's a nice birthday gift you could leave.
That would be honestly the easiest birthday gift that you could ever give me.
Yeah.
It's free.
It costs nothing.
And it would make my whole month.
It costs 30 seconds of your time. So thank you so much for listening, liking, commenting, subscribing. Subscribe on YouTube if you're watching. Subscribe on all the podcast channels that you want to listen to us on.
Thanks so much for the chat, Tim. This is always so nice.
This is so cathartic.
It's really fun having a podcast with one of your best friends because you just get to like shoot the shit with them.
And a dog sometimes. He's gone to sleep. If you
Richard is still around, but he's right beside me.
Oh, there he is. Okay, you can't see him.
He's having a little snore.
Again, if you have any comments, if you have any questions, hot takes, or ideas you want us to talk about on this podcast, please dive face first into our DMs on the Shoot Your Shot podcast on Instagram, and we'll get to them sooner than you think.
We can't wait.
Thanks so much, guys.
See you next week.
Doing this? Yeah, that's good.